government is not our master, it is our servant. Its only power, that which we the people allow it to have.
Liberty Watch is an independent program on KVOI dedicated to the notion that government remains servant, not master, and operating in the public interest for which the media in this country was designed, by exploring controversy. This helps us to resolve our differences peaceably, refining controversy into clarity through investigation, research, interview of experts, and public feedback. Liberty Watch is based in objective reason and is biased towards individual liberty, and so is not the view of the station or anyone but the host, guests, and callers. Liberty Watch operates outside the realm of political correctness, taking no notice at all of race, creed, religion, ethnicity, political affiliation, or orientation, focusing on content of character in eternal vigilance to the free flow of information about government, technology, current events, and our steadfast Constitution. The program is paid, produced, hosted, and operated by Charles Heller, and any mistakes are solely his responsibility.
Most of you just heard on that news broadcast, if you were listening to CBS Disinformation News, that the governor of Illinois, Jay Pritzker, is, of course, his nickname is Circumference, but Governor Pritzker, and I know because I resemble that remark, but Governor Pritzker is saying that federal government ought to coordinate with local law enforcement when they're going to be there. And generally, that's true. But there's a reason why they don't. And the reason is because local law enforcement, when it comes to immigration enforcement, has a tendency to warn the criminals that the federal law enforcement is coming. And it's not conducive to peaceably arresting people who are suspected of being in the country illegally. It's generally not a good idea to tell somebody that you're coming to arrest them. It's better to show up and simply make the arrest as peaceably as possible, as opposed to having to chase people or having them disappear when you show up to arrest them. And that's why, it's kind of what Paul Harvey used to call the rest of the story, as to why federal law enforcement, when it comes to cities like Chicago, which have sanctuary policies, or New York, where even if a person is incarcerated for some reason in a city facility, if there's an ICE detainer, New York won't honor the ICE detainer, and if the law enforcement shows up to pick up the person that is that has a detainer on them, they've often already left. And it's interesting. It would be interesting to find out what will happen if the jailer won't open the jail to take the person into custody. But usually what happens is that they're gone by the time ICE gets there. And that's why they're not being cooperative with, that's why the federal agencies are not necessarily networking with the local agencies, because the local agency will do everything it can, at least in Chicago and in New York, to not assist ICE. They won't interfere with them, but they won't assist them. And that's non-productive. It's, to a large extent, it's a waste of the taxpayer money, because a lot of money goes into law enforcement, and when you can't do that job right because it's being impeded by other agencies, it's in effect tailpiped carburetorism against constitutional function. So I dug around and I looked in my archive, and I have this article from 2 years ago, and it's talking about crime in D.C. Now, D.C. is very different. The District of Columbia is not a city, and it's not a state. It's a federal district. So there's a lot more authority for a president to do exactly what he did, which is take control of the district and send in the National Guard and transfer a lot of law enforcement there. And they went 13 days without a homicide in a city that had the highest per capita murder rate in the United States, closely followed by St. Louis, Atlanta, and Chicago. But the point is that they had 12 days where there were no homicides in D.C., something that hasn't happened in a 12-day period since probably the 1970s hasn't happened. But this article is, I'm trying to see who it was written by, and There, I don't see an attribution, and I don't usually do this unless I have an attribution, but I'm going to present it anyway. DC crime wave due to just 500 criminals and no prosecution, not guns. I think this comes from through John Lott's organization, if not from Professor Lott himself. Analysis. The violent crime, and remember, this is 2 years ago, the violent crime wave in our nation's capital is going unabated. While violence is dropping a bit in other cities, murders, shootings, and carjackings, often by repeat offenders, including a lot of criminal teens, are off the charts in D.C. The Economist reports that violent crime is up a whopping 40% this year. Remember, this is 23. Homicides are up 30%, and robberies are up 70%. A spike in juvenile crime is part of the problem. Carjackings committed by teens rose 64%. By the end of December, and it doesn't say over what period of time, which is, I wish it did. By the end of December, D.C. will, this is December of 23, D.C. will have had its deadliest year in decades. And Democrat Congressman Henry Cuellar from Texas was carjacked. By the way, he is a retired Border Patrol agent. Henry Cuellar from Texas was carjacked at gunpoint October 2nd, making the 754th carjacking this year. That was 2023. And I think he's from District 16 in Texas. Republican lawmakers are certain that Washington's surge in violent crime is due to the district's far-left Democratic leaders. Mitch McConnell, the Senate's minority leader, remember this was a while ago, warned that the district's soft-on-crime leaders needed adult supervision. The district's crime lab, responsible for processing forensic data, is also still defunct since 2021 when it lost its accreditation due to mistakes and cover-ups. And its only juvenile detention center seems to be failing. And while Democrats still try to blame a proliferation of guns as the main factor, always referring to shootings as gun violence rather than criminal shootings, they ignore the two biggest factors in D.C.'s huge spike in violence: repeat criminal offenders and lack of prosecution U.S. attorney in D.C. One major factor is that a relatively small number of repeat offending criminals commit most of the so-called gun violence. This factor is also part of a result of the is also a part result of the second factor, the fact that there's a lot of Soros-backed DAs who don't prosecute car burglary and other related crimes relating to carjackings. As The Economist points out, repeat offenders are responsible for most crimes. Murder suspects in America's capital have on average been arrested 11 times before they kill, according to police. It's an important statistic. Repeat offenders are responsible for most crimes. Murder suspects in America's capital have on average been arrested 11 times before they kill, according to police. Most of these are felony arrests. The National Institute for Criminal Justice Reform found that just 500 people commit up to 70% of Washington's gun crimes each year. Yet, somehow, the District of Columbia, our nation's capital, cannot seem to stop them. So rather than only trying to get the guns off the streets, the bigger focus should be on getting them out of the hands of these 500 criminals and getting the same 500 thugs off the streets. But that brings us to the second factor, lack of prosecution by the previous administration's DOJ, Department of Justice. Since the U.S. attorney handles local crimes in the Capitol, The Economist explains, in Washington, unlike any other American city, the U.S. attorney is responsible for prosecuting both local and federal crimes and defending the federal government in civil cases. The office's split personality means that resources must be rationed. After January 6, 2021, for example, the former U.S. attorney pulled staff off local cases to help prosecute so-called insurrectionists, who are just rioters, who stormed the Capitol. Okay, let's go ahead and take the break, and then we'll be back. And I would welcome discussion on this from the audience at 520-790-2040 in the Wilkinson Wealth Management Studios about crime in D.C., and and about crime in general. And I have a funny feeling that there's a mirror image of what goes on in D.C. with the 500 offenders, mostly around the country, especially in terms of gangs. Set 520-790-2040.
I can't stand it. I watch TV and there's nothing but commercials.
This is just great. We're in Death Valley and the car breaks down.
Don't worry, honey. I simply popped the trunk.
Pop the trunk?
Wait and see this. I purchased Ronco's new trunk mechanic.
Oh, come on.
Hi, guys. Pop the hood and I will have you back on the road.
So simply add these two blue pills to your gas tank and your car will perform like...
What? So for in my new synthetic extra virgin oil additive, not only your car run a smooth, but it smell a delicious.
So stupid.
So call now and order your very own duct tape engine wrap.
Duct tape engine?
Just tell me the engine size and the model.
What?
And your engine will last forever.
At Perfection Auto Works, we don't entice you with tricks or gimmicks. Our ASC-certified mechanics guarantee your car fixed right the first time.
Finally, someone I can believe in.
You know, he's right. Call Perfection Auto Works today. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
In the desert, rainwater is liquid gold falling from the sky onto your roof. But how do you keep it? Southern Arizona Rain Gutters installs rain gutters and water storage tanks attractively on your property to water your plants or sustain your family. If municipal water were interrupted, how long would you last? Monsooner or later, you'll find out. SouthernArizonaRainGutters.com. That's SouthernArizonaRainGutters.com.
Hi folks, this is Rob from Blade Runner Knives, inviting you to come see our great selection of popular brands of everyday carry knives, hunting knives, axes, swords, and we are especially proud of our custom and local pieces. We also have a speedy sharpening service. We're at 907 West Prince Road at the corner of Prince and Fairview, around on the Fairview side. Blade Runner sharpens knives fast.
Swap shop trains coming, rolling down that free market track.
Sunday mornings, you can buy, sell, or trade anything lawful and moral on the swap shop. Let's listen.
Do you know what the record length is for the catch of the infamous Pima sand shark?
No, I do not.
I don't either. I just figured you might know.
That's a good trivia question. I think I'll look that up.
You're right. I know that the biggest one was in the Rito, but anyway.
Swap shop, Sundays 10 to 11 a.m., right before Liberty Watch.
Hi, it's Mark Levin. Liberty Watch on KVOI is dedicated to the notion that government remains servant, not master. Sounds like Charles has been reading my books. Congratulations on KVOI, Charles.
Census factions will be counteracted and controlled in their actions when this plan's enacted. And with a large republic with so many interests, it guarantees that no one can run in and commandeer it. Ambition checks ambition, and 51 be saying that through separation, no one bridge be claiming. Checks and balances between the three will assure this. The president and courts and Congress got their limits. There's 83 more. John Jay and James Madison are 34. Hamilton has been banning.
And a little bit of Constitution rap there from Hamilton. And we were scheduled to have Philip Williams, but he was unable to make it. And we're going to postpone the discussion of Federalist 41. Instead, we're talking about something topical in the news, and that is the level of crime in D.C., which has decreased propitiously when the National Guard and a bunch of federal law enforcement was plussed up to go in there and back up the D.C. Police Department. And unusually, Mayor Muriel Bowser was kind of supportive of it. And she actually remarked on the fact that the crime had gone down suddenly when the National Guard went in. And looking at things sort of in a holistic way, you don't want to have a country where there is National Guard troops on the streets in your cities and towns as a surge to temporarily tamp down the crime until you can get some of the bad people. Like they said in this article, the 500 known criminals in D.C. who are repeat offenders and who get arrested an average of 11 times before they commit a major felony, they're known actors. And if you do a surge for 30 days with the National Guard where they assist, they don't do law enforcement, but they back up law enforcement officers. If you do that, and D.C. is unique in that it's a federal district, you can't just have the Title 10 of U.S. Code, the Posse Comitatus Act, says you cannot have military enforcing civilian law. There are exemptions to it where the governor can call up the National Guard in the event of an emergency, or the president can federalize them. But you don't want the president to federalize National Guard troops in defiance of the wish of the governor of the state. That basically sets up a circumstance similar to civil war, and or what you had in the Civil War, and you don't want to have that as a smooth way of governing a country. What you want to do is have people who actually do their jobs in government, and they actually provide for the common defense, for tranquility, and for people to have a civil society. Clearly, a lot of the cities are not doing that. They're, for whatever reason they are, for whatever political reason they are, they're allowing the crime to continue, and the public is fed up with it. The public largely supports what President Trump is doing. I am certain that over the long term, we do not want to have the National Guard running around in their camis with a sidearm or a rifle in the city of Chicago or Philadelphia or New York or anywhere or Tucson. But by the same token, we'd like to be able to think that we can go out on the street and go out and for a night on the town and not have to worry that you'll be the victim of some active, some criminal predation. And then worse, to add insult to injury, the criminal is not prosecuted for whatever that they do to you. And, you know, I heard recently that a man murdered his pregnant wife and a child, and he got 20 years for it for manslaughter. What a shame. What a terrible shame. Why would that person not suffer the death penalty for murdering his wife and his daughter? Why? I realize there may be some extenuating circumstance. But if the criminal was more concerned that if they really did it, if they really were the one, and there's no doubt about it, beyond a reasonable doubt, that they did it, and they killed somebody, took another life, why should theirs not be forfeit? If you disagree with me, there's some people who disagree based on the fact that that's too much power to give the government. But at some point, somebody's got to be in charge, and somebody's got to take responsibility for the safety and security of the general welfare of the population. Not specific welfare, but the general welfare of the population. And at some point, you've got to say enough is enough. And, you know, I don't care what the politics are of the city that you're in. You want to live in a safe city. You don't want to sacrifice your safety to your ideology. Anyway, back to this article. In Washington, unlike any other American city, the U.S. attorney is responsible for prosecuting both local and federal crimes and defending the federal government in civil cases. The office of split personality means that resources must be rationed. After January 6, 2021, for example, the former U.S. attorney pulled staff off local cases to help prosecute the so-called insurrectionists or rioters who had stormed the Capitol. In 2022, the office declined to prosecute 67% of local arrests, up from 31% in 2016. This is much higher than in other cities, according to the Washington Post. Last year, Philadelphia prosecutors dropped just 4% of cases. Cook County, which includes Chicago, 14%, and Detroit, 33%. Such a high dismissal rate could well be discouraging police from making arrests. Let me ask this. Are there any police officers out there listening to this? If you knew that 33% of the arrests you made would be dismissed, what effect would it have on your morale and your willingness to make arrests? Anybody who's current or former law enforcement, I encourage you to call in. I'd like to have a probative discussion on the issue. Because then there is also one added factor in the D.C. judge problem. The economy. Oh, we got a call. Let's take that. Caller, your first name, please.
Ingrid.
Ingrid, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was going to answer your other question about the death penalty.
Yeah.
You want to hear that now or not?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I think the death penalty is inappropriate. If you really want to be sure that nobody's going to do anything like that again, put them into solitary confinement for life.
I don't think it's equal to what they did. And while at the same time, let me finish my sentence, then I want to hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
While you don't want to exact punishment that is cruel and unusual, because that's not who we are as a country, by the same token, if they've taken a life, they've sacrificed their own. If you disagree, tell me why.
There's always a possibility that it was an error, but I imagine that in most cases, that's really not the situation. The idea of killing somebody, it's you're killing somebody. That's what the person did who's being incarcerated and being put to death. But if you put the person into solitary confinement, you're obviously not killing that person, and you're punishing that person for what he or she did. And that should be sufficient. Nobody else will be hurt in any way, shape, or form, let alone killed, if this individual is incarcerated.
That's categorically not true. Often, people who are incarcerated for the worst of crimes do kill again inside the prison, and they also endanger the guards and the other prisoners. Furthermore, wait a minute.
Solitary confinement.
Solitary confinement does not keep them in the cell 24 hours a day. It keeps them in the cell 23 hours a day. They still have to have an hour a day to get out and exercise.
No.
No, they didn't.
That's the punishment.
That's already been considered cruel and unusual by the Supreme Court, and you can't do it. It's a violation of their Eighth Amendment rights. You cannot leave somebody. You cannot leave somebody in a cell. You got to let them out 1 hour a day to exercise and see sunshine and do other things that people do. Now, I think
give them a window. Give them a window.
I'm telling you what the Supreme
Court. I know. I don't care what the Supreme Court said.
Well, you got to. That's part of the problem. That we have our own opinions, but we're all entitled to our own opinions, but we're not entitled to our own facts. And the courts rule on issues of fact. And what I'm saying is they've said that it's cruel and unusual. It's not cruel and unusual. And let me give you an example. All right. I'll give you one that I remember directly, although it didn't touch me. I remember directly. Richard Speck, who killed in 1963 or so, or 64, murdered 8 student nurses in the Chicago area, in the south area, south side of Chicago. He broke into a nursing dorm and he stabbed, I think, 7 nurses. The 8th one survived and witnessed it. And there is just, and Illinois at the time had a death penalty. And he was tried, and they wanted to go for the death penalty, and for some reason they did not. There was a plea bargain. He agreed to life without parole. And hang on a second. Caller, hold on just a minute. He agreed to life without parole, and they gave it to him. And he died in prison, and he needed a transplant. He needed a kidney transplant, and they wouldn't get it for him, and he died. And I think that the fact that he lived so many more years than his victims did allowed him to enjoy life, that the life that he had taken from others. And I don't think that that's just.
Okay, he used a good enjoyment. I don't think he enjoyed anything. Plus, you have a bunch of other people waiting to talk to you, so I better get off the air. Thank you.
He got to inhale and exhale. That's enjoyment. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. And caller, your first name, please.
My first name's Jeff.
Oh, Jeff,
excuse me, sorry.
Can you turn your radio off or walk out of the house?
I did.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Jeff.
I apologize.
Charles,
good morning. And let's see, the late Colonel Hackworth proposed taking prisoners and putting them into like a shock incarceration program and making a foreign legion out of it. And then that way they, you know, we spend so much on our military and private contractors and everything else. I think there are just some jobs like what they're proposing now as observers in Ukraine would be perfect for those characters.
Oh, my God.
They would have a tracking device on them. You know, if they're captured, you know, they're not going to get too much out of them. That kind of thing.
That's fine, but not for incorrigible people. That's fine for rehabilitative people, rehabilitatable people. If you murder 7 student nurses in cold blood, I think there's a perfect solution. You volunteer. You allow them to volunteer for tissue matching, and you donate your organs, and when the donors are found, your organs are harvested humanely under sedation, so you're not in pain, and your organs are given to someone who will behave responsibly with them. You could save 7 lives with the organs from 1 person, and you make it voluntary. So the Republicans will like it because you gave the death penalty. The Democrats will like it because it was pro-choice, and the Libertarians will like it because you made it voluntary, and the Democrats will like it because you recycled.
Well, maybe your way is better, but it was just an idea. I know Colonel Hackworth seemed to have some decent ideas, but
he
no
did.
One's ever put them to use.
He did. Well, so did General Patton, but very few have put those to use either. All right, you have a nice day.
That's true. I do. Thank you.
Bye. Okay, right. And we're up on our bottom of the hour break, so let's go ahead and take that now. And in the Wilkinson Wealth Management Studios, and let's have a robust discussion. Let's talk about the death penalty. Is it moral? Is it moral for the government to kill somebody? And we'll see.
In days of fighting sail, a ship was known by her name, then her number of guns. Constitution 44 was the first of 6 frigates of the U.S. Navy. Launched in 1797, she is the oldest warship in the world, still afloat and in commission. You can get a coin with her image at Tucson Coin and Autograph.
At the southeast corner of Oracle and Orange Grove, or online at TucsonCoinAutograph.com and 219-4427.
Thank you for listening to Liberty Watch.
This is Ed Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. Does your portfolio look like you're paddling downriver with banjo music playing in the background? If you're truly seeking deliverance from bad financial advice and want to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired, call me, Ed Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911, or Wilkinson Wealth, MGMT.com.
Are you looking for a reliable, high-speed internet solution for your home, business, or RV? ACI Starlink Installers specializes in professional Starlink satellite internet installations, bringing fast and dependable access directly to you across Arizona. We are licensed and insured, an independent company. Call 520-331-0125 for the best Starlink internet. Call right now, 520-331-0125.
Swap Shop trains are coming, rolling down that free market track.
Sunday mornings, you can buy, sell, or trade anything lawful and moral on the Swap Shop. Let's listen.
I rescued a fancy pigeon from hawk. Dog is allergic to it. We're hoping to find the good home, and I will deliver.
And, of course, when you deliver, that will be known as the pigeon drop. They'll give you the bird.
Swap Shop, Sundays 10 to 11 a.m., right before Liberty Watch.
Hi, it's Dennis Prager. Liberty Watch is dedicated to the notion that government remain servant, not master. Goes very well with my concept of e pluribus unum liberty and in God we trust. Congratulations, Charles.
Would you like donuts that make your tongue do somersaults? Do you dream of fresh apple fritters, cinnamon rolls, and filled donuts? K Donut Wheel is on Wilmot, just south of Golf Links, for donuts, ham and cheese croissants, coffee juices, and more. 4:30 in the morning to 8 p.m. Donuts, dozens, and more. Call ahead for large orders, 520-748-8129.
Donuts.
K Donut Wheel, west end of Fry's Plaza, Golf Links, and Wilmot.
Anti-federalists, yeah, they hate this.
They complain under the name Cato and Brutus, and they whining and they pining, say we need a Bill of Rights. So there for New Yorkers to support the Constitution at their state convention. Also, they let us know why we should go ratify the Constitution. Ratify this Constitution, it's a better plan. It's a better plan. Better than the Articles of Confederation. Confederation.
I think if Hamilton had spoken that way, it wouldn't have gotten ratified. All right, to the phones, and Rick, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Richard Speck murdered 8 women.
Thank you. I stand corrected.
I didn't call to correct you, though.
I don't want to be right. I want to be correct.
Right. There's video footage. I saw this years ago, so my memory has faded a little bit. There's footage of Richard Speck in prison, in other inmate cells, and he had some kind of breast implants that he was able to have put in for whatever perverted reason. And he was, part of it came up that he was able to get drugs. I worked in a jail for a year as a corrections officer. And part of this footage, I think he was using some kind of drugs. He was able to get drugs. He was able to have some kind of sexual encounters with other inmates, apparently. So he murders 8 women, and he should have got the death penalty because he didn't die soon enough. As far as this idea of, we can't put someone to death, the Menendez brothers shotgunned, murdered both of their parents, and I guarantee you they're one liberal vote away for another governor to say, you guys can come out. They keep coming up for parole hearings. Now, 3 more years, they're going to have another parole hearing. They have just recently, within the past week or two, have been denied. So they murdered their double homicide, murdered their parents. Profit motive was what was put forward in court. And you're going to say, well, okay, now you can be paroled. The most grievous, or one of the most grievous that I can cite is Kenneth Allen McDuff in Texas. He murdered 3 people, and rape was involved in that. A couple was in a car. He carjacked them, raped the woman. He had a younger cousin with him who ended up being a witness. Murdered, and then he murdered one other person. There was a triple homicide, a rape, a robbery. He had a gun. All these things are contributing factors. He gets the death penalty in 1966. In 1973, the Supreme Court says, the way the death penalty is administered, can't have it. His death sentence is commuted. In 1989, he's paroled. He goes to a halfway house for a work program, something like this. He murders 5 more women. He abducted a young woman from a convenience store at night. He murdered a co-ed. He murdered 5 more women. This is all documented. And then I think after that, he got the death penalty again. He murdered 5 more women before he was caught and sentenced to death for a second time. That is why it's no guarantee to say, okay, you'll be in prison for life. No guarantee. A new parole board, a new governor, a new state legislators,
a governor like Dan, what's his name, that took 167 people off of death row as he left right. office, subsequently went right. to prison. Dan, Irish last name. Can't think of it.
He wasn't the one with the hair, the real fancy hair.
No, that's Chicago. Not. That's Blagojevich. This was previous to Blagojevich. He was a governor, and he'd been Secretary of State, and then he ran for governor and won. And then Illinois changed its constitution. Governors can now go straight from the governor's mansion to the state house in Joliet. So, all right, I got another caller coming in.
If you have a chance, research. There was a movie made by Clint Eastwood. It's a true story, not based on a true story, called Changeling, and it's about a serial killer just outside of Los Angeles who murdered at least 20 boys. He was convicted. He was sentenced to, in 2 years later, he was hung till dead. And so it's very interesting. Nobody really hears about this guy. He was actually from Canada, and he was only about 21 years old. But he raped, and it's called the chicken coop murders is another way to look that up. But it's based on the movie Changeling with Angelina Jolie is in that movie. And why anyone would think that maybe that guy deserved to live, he was a sick, he murdered these kids with axes.
Okay, we got the point. We got the point. I got another call. Have a good day. Chris again, a different Chris. Hi. You're on the air. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Passion. Love the passion of the caller.
I do too.
We'll check that movie out. That was a good call in.
It really is. Sometimes the callers have better stuff than I do.
Well, as you began intimating, after the law enforcement aspect, these DAs that just let them go, they got to go. And Trump on Wednesday is intimating that he wants to go after the Soros racketeering just for the violent protest. But the Soros is the Sun too.
Yeah.
They have gotten all these DAs in around our country.
Right.
And they don't – and that's just a buzzkill on the police to do all of what they do, risk their life, and they just let them walk.
It is.
It's very effective.
It is. At the same time,
the snake.
At the same time, though, you have to look at what they did to get them elected. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the riots and the material support of the riots, the racketeering aspect of that, which I agree with. But if someone used lawful process to help get somebody elected who was going to do a malfeasant job, that is not illegal. And you can't go after that criminally, because otherwise what you end up with is the French Revolution. What you got to do to fight that is change hearts and minds and get people elected that will do a reasonable job in the system.
That makes perfect sense. We get the government we deserve.
Right.
And are malicious incompetent.
Right. And I'll give you an example. Laura Conover is a nice person.
I was going to ask is she a Soros? Is she one of them?
I believe that she does, she is, but,
oh, Lord.
But here's the thing. Laura Conover is a decent human being. I believe her philosophy is misguided. But Laura Conover is approachable. You can talk to her. You can, I spent an hour with her, okay? And when I went to her office, she wanted to keep talking to me. She went down the elevator with me. And then we stood at security. It was the funniest thing. They were giving me all my stuff back that, you know, I couldn't take into the building with me. And I'm on the sterile side of security, okay? I'm on the inside, and they're handing me all my junk, standing next to the county prosecutor, to the county attorney, putting knives and various stuff back in my pants and weapons.
Yes, that had to be quite a sight.
And I said, does this strike you as ironic, Laura? I go, what? I said, we're on the inside of the barrier. They're giving me all my weapons back. I'm standing next to the county attorney putting them on. And she looked at me and goes, I'm not worried about you, Charles. I said, oh, no, I'm not the problem. I'm just looking at the irony of it. But anyway, I digress. The point is, she's a decent human being. I believe she is very – she told me as part of this, she said, I'm all about – what was the word she used? I'm all about restorative justice, I believe, is what she said to me. And she believes in that wholeheartedly. You got to understand, though, her career path was as a defense attorney, not as a prosecutor. And now, as the Pima County attorney, she's both in charge of both the prosecution and the defense. Mm. And you have to look at it more holistically than just as a defense attorney. By the same token, you also don't want to go the other direction and be so punitive that anybody who gets arrested for something minor ends up doing hard time. You don't want that either. Somehow, though, you've got to – it's like in D.C. where you've got 500 or so known people who are the repeat offenders, and you keep letting them fall through the system. At some point, you got to go 3 strikes or maybe 4 strikes, but not 11.
Maybe 2.
Or maybe
Charles, I admire your fairness, but Conover still – and I agree the majority of the listeners will agree with me. She's got to go.
Well, there's a process for that. And we had a process where a guy named Mike Jetty ran against her. He ran as an independent because I believe he's become a Republican, but I don't know that for a fact, and I don't want to speak out of school. But the point, the point is that we have a process. We follow the process. You've got to remember what much of Pima County is, which is a left-leaning, except for the outlying areas. The core of Tucson is a fairly left-leaning, mostly University of Arizona. And the farther south you go, the more you get towards the Air Force Base and out east and out towards Raytheon, you'll find a more conservative base. But generally speaking, much of Tucson is left-leaning, and that's who they're going to elect. Look at the makeup of the city council. 7 Democrats. Okay, that's who they are.
We are the Marin County of the Southwest. Now, Charles, I want to recommend the show.
Yes.
Because I have been catching now and again about these drone operators at TPD and going down alleys and chasing people and doing all kinds of cool stuff. Maybe you could get them on a show and do maybe a half hour with them. It would be interesting.
Is a good lead. Do me a favor and email that to me. I'm not. I guess I have a pad of paper here, but
I will handle it, sir.
Email that to me.
Ho.
And also, if you, he went. Some listeners have a habit of doing that. Chris, if you got your radio back on, see if you can find me a contact. I don't expect you to be my producer, but if you have a contact of who the drone operator, I'll call the PIO for TPD. I know the number for that. I'll call the public information officer, and I will find out who the drone people are. And by the way, there are some people in Tucson who are very against the use of drones by the police, and I don't agree. I think it is a good use. And especially as long as the drone is not armed, I think it's a really good tool for the cops. But your mileage may vary. If you do, call in and tell me why.
Did you hear that?
Are you hearing this?
That's an impact drone. Come on. We got to get out of here. Quick. Start the engine. Now.
Warren!
Must go faster.
We're losing power!
Well, this makes no sense. I mean, the reasons for a car's power loss include clogged fuel filters or injectors or faulty spark plugs or a malfunctioning fuel pump or a restricted catalytic converter.
Okay, but that Raptor's gaining on us!
I mean, Perfection Auto Works would have caught any of these with their free 26-point inspection.
Hey, guys, eat my dust.
Hey, that's a Ford Raptor. Look at the bumper sticker. It says Perfection Auto Works. Dang, we should have gone there.
Perfection Auto Works did not appear on the scene by extracting and sequencing mechanic DNA. It took years of hard work. We trained ASE-certified mechanics to give you the best automotive repair in Tucson. Call us today, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Cornucopia. Gerson's. Gerson's Cornucopia. An overflowing of great stuff. That's what a cornucopia is. And that's what Gerson's is. So many doors, so much flooring, so many cabinets, so much everything. Rugs, refrigerators, windows, wrought iron paint, and even more paint. Gerson's Building Materials, 4726 South Country Club, just north of Irvington. Check us out online, gersonsbuildingmaterials.com.
Why are rain gutters so important? It's an important part of protecting your home and business against the harsh desert elements. Southern Arizona Rain Gutters offers lasting solutions to protect your home with gutters, fascia wrap, and water collection systems. Monsoon or later, you'll need us. 299-RAIN, that's 7246, or southernarizonaraingutters.com. That's southernarizonaraingutters.com.
Swap Shop trains are coming. Rolling down
Sunday morning, 10 to 11 a.m. on KVOI. You can buy and sell and trade anything you want that's lawful and moral to own. Let's listen.
Rick, you're on the Swap Shop.
Hovercraft is like on Star Wars, but it's missing engine.
Yeah.
Easy, Chewy.
It's got its own trailer. My number is 272.
Swap Shop, Sundays, 10 to 11 a.m., right before Liberty Watch.
Is your yard crying out for a makeover? It's time to call in the hero, Man of the Soil Landscape Builders. Since 1974, we've been building paver patios, driveways, installing turf, and creating landscape designs that wows, all with expert craftsmanship and desert smart style. Every yard needs a hero, and we've been saving yards for 50 years. Call Man of the Soil, where landscapes become legendary. 520-544-7743 or manofthesoil.com, ROC 108391.
We've
the people in order to form a more perfect union. Establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense. Promote the general welfare at hand. Secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
You know, that could be the opening theme for this program. It really could. And that is the stated purpose of government, according to the United States Constitution. For those of you, you know, I offer cards. If you want one, or two, or three, or four, just send a self-addressed, I don't want any money, just send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Charles Heller, care of KVOI, 3222 South Richey, R-I-C-H-E-Y, Tucson, Arizona, 85713. If you want, you can send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. And I'll know if I get an envelope, I'll know to just throw a few Constitution or stated purpose of government cards in it. I'm not making money on it. I just want people to carry the card. Or you can go and take the preamble to our Constitution and have it printed on one side of a business card. And on the other side, you put Article 2, Section 2 of Arizona's Constitution, stated purpose of government. And now you got something you can hand somebody that's applying to be part of the hired help at in elective office and say, hey, what, according to the Constitution that you swore to uphold, what is the stated purpose of government? Most of them will not know. And when they don't say, hey, look, I got something for you. I want to give you this. I want you to have constructive notice of what it says. Constructive notice is a legal term. It means you're serving them. And give it to them. And say, do me a favor, Xerox this and give it to your friends. Or if you want to, you tell me what address you want this sent to, and I'll send you half a dozen or a dozen of them to just contact me, Charles, at LibertyWatchRadio.com, and I'll send you a dozen. No charge. I don't want anything for it. I'm not making money on this. I just want there to be an effusion of knowledge about what government is supposed to do. And I think if that knowledge were democratized, to use a word, I think if we brought the knowledge of the stated purpose of government to its lowest common denominator, such that maybe a sixth grader or a seventh grader could say, you could say, hey, Tommy or Jimmy, what is the stated purpose of government according to the U.S. Constitution? Or what is the stated purpose of government according to Arizona's Constitution? I think that if children knew that by the sixth grade or seventh, if they knew that, I think it would cause people to think differently. And the reason is it would give them a context for the way they think about what government is supposed to do. When you hear people propose ideas for government to do things, you can always ask, if a child has a basic knowledge of what government is supposed to do, you could ask any child, well, gee, if this program were proposed, how would that fit with the stated purpose of government? According to what you know, you're a very smart child there, Jimmy or Jenny or Johnny or Tammy. You're a very smart kid. How would that fit into what government's stated purpose is according to the Constitution? Ask the question. Don't tell them. Ask them. Make them think. We have been designed as human beings very intelligently. And when you cause people to think, especially young people, it causes them to make connections in their brain and learn how to reason. It doesn't mean you'll have a perfect kid, but it means instead of telling them what to think, you'll be teaching them how to think. And that is far more important for a republic with democratic qualities to it. It is far more important in a republic for the people at the very basis of their understanding to comprehend what government is supposed to be. The purpose of this program is to look at things that are controversial. And to have a place where, for instance, Ingrid and I don't agree on something. I think it's wonderful. I think it's great that, boy, that sounded almost wonderful. It sounded almost New York in the way I said that, and I'm not from there. I think it's wonderful that people have disagreements and they have a forum like this and many others where they can discuss things and work them out peaceably. And where somebody can call in and talk about, well, that person should have gotten the death penalty. No, they should have gotten solitary confinement. And I think there needs to be a diversity. All right, you want diversity? There should be diversity of ideas. And maybe those people that think like Ms. Conover does that's too harsh, and that's okay too. You certainly don't have to agree with me to be either a caller or a guest on this program. You've seen examples of that. Certainly you have. Some people think I've been too soft with others that have opinions that they may consider to be vile. You've seen that happen. And you've also seen people here there have been people who've suggested the death penalty for drug dealers and who may or may that where their drug dealing has resulted in death. And I don't think that's ever going to pass through a state legislature, but we'll see. I think I've heard Jorge Rivas say from stage. In fact, I was the moderator of the debate where he said, someone gets caught dealing fentanyl, we give them the death penalty. I don't think that's probably would get through the state legislature. I know for sure the current governor wouldn't sign it. I don't think even Doug Ducey would have signed that. So the question is, how do you make that happen? How do you make changes that you'd like to see as a polity, as a group of people who are voters? How do you make change happen? I think a lot of the times people listen to the news, whether it's the network news or they listen to talk radio, which has a tendency to be more conservative, and they're swayed by the emotion of it, and they don't look at necessarily some of you do, and a lot of you do, in the talk radio audience actually look at the mechanics of how this works, but you look at somebody like Bill Beard, who's very familiar with the mechanics of how government works, and he understands how the levers of power operate. And I'll take it. This is Gary and Bisbee.
Yes, just two quick questions.
Sure.
What are the guidelines of prison in the Torah?
What a great question. I'm not qualified to answer it.
There are no sentencing guidelines regarding prison time. There is no prison time. Second question. Is eternal damnation too harsh?
For what?
For Judgment Day.
Isn't that a question you should be asking God? Certainly not, Charles.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just what he says.
I love you.
Eternal damnation.
Gary, I love your faith and confidence in me, but it exceeds my reach. It exceeds
I went a little too far, but I wanted to let people know Leviticus has no guidelines on prison terms or anything of that nature. You either pay it back, you do servitude, and especially you get death.
Well, you know, I think the death penalty is moral, but the question is, the question is actually, you fit in very well to what I was just saying. How do you get it to a place of where it can be applied? Because as a society, we've militated away from that. And how do I'm sorry, what?
And sadly, therein lies the problem. If we are a Judeo-Christian nation, we sure don't practice it.
I would agree with that assessment of you, but the question is, how do we get back to it? And I think one of the ways you do it, to answer my own question, is through charter schools. I think one of the things you do is you don't have people who are sentenced to be processed by the public school system. I think you make if you have a choice in how you educate people and an ability to not trap people in only one way of thinking, I think that's one way you get away from it. But your mileage may vary.
And I agree. And I appreciate your show. You tackled a big one today.
I did. And I did it with 10 minutes notice.
Yeah.
All right. We're at the top of the hour. As close as possible to the top of the hour, we have to... Well, actually, we have 55 seconds. Do you have a 55-second opinion?
I wish everyone to enjoy their Labor Day, but also contemplate the blessings of having a job. And if those who do not have a job, I pray for them to get a job. It is a thing that gives life value.
And meaning.
And that's my statement.
Charger has a job. It's to growl at Jim Bednarik.
And a good job he does.
He's standing in the doorway wondering why I'm talking about him now. All right, I got to go. You have a blessed day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice. There you go, FCC, your legal ID. And stay tuned for America Armed and Free coming up now, now, and now.